And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday edition. And we want to say good morning to you. Welcome, Brother David Tucker.
Good morning.
I'm going to wait on Joe Barner because he's getting his microphone set
in
front of him.
He just walked in the room.
Yeah, I tell you what.
You're right on time.
Right on time.
Well, let me explain. I usually try to print out a forecast for Brian to read from.
Yeah.
And our one printer that I was going to print from was out of toner this morning.
So. Oh, no. Well, that puts you behind.
So you've been toning up.
Yeah, you've been toning up.
It's been telling us for a while. Toner's low.
Well, so. It's good to be fit and toned.
Yeah, fit and toned.
And this morning it said, I told you so.
I told you so.
I'm not going to print.
Not going to do it.
But you don't have fingers that are all covered in black powder, so I suppose you're okay.
Well, I got black something. Might be. I don't know what that is.
Oh,
it
me.
Used to be when you worked on those copier machines, you'd come out looking like you'd been in a coal mine.
You have to put on gloves and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Them were the days. Back in the days of the mimeograph. Do you remember the mimeograph?
I sure do. Brian probably doesn't.
No, I don't.
He's such a young pup.
I don't. I don't remember. I did celebrate a birthday, though.
Did you really?
Yeah, Friday. I'm turned 50.
Congratulations.
I hit the 50 mark. So.
That's it. Half a century.
Half a century.
Well Brian, just for fun, do you remember the days of overhead projectors?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
There you go.
I do remember overhead projectors.
And so you at least know the clear screens that had to be printed up.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it
used to be instead of the copier machine, you got to crank it by hand on the mimeograph.
Mm-mm-mm.
And you got to smell the wonderful smell of whatever that ink was. I can't remember.
Oh, man.
But, we're probably all dying from some disease because of it. But that's all right.
Yeah.
That was the way things were done at the time.
In the day.
Back in the day.
Well, glad to see you both survived the flood.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
You know, a lot of people out there not so happy today, I'm sure. But,
that's right.
You know, a lot of flooding going on around our community. Also some tornadoes, in different areas. So.
Right. So we have some folks coming into town.
Yeah.
They're called DR, Disaster Relief.
Mm-hmm.
They're with the Southern Baptist Convention. Through the CCBA, the Christian County Baptist Association, if you have need of someone who is needing to have mud out or clean up in the basement and so on, and you don't have folks in your church family necessarily that can help you with that, it's not a problem.
Gotcha.
Call the CCBA and the DR folks. They'll travel in from all over the state. They're trained in mud out, and they're prepared to come and help you get the job done. I know we've got one guy in our church. We're going to be there at 1 o'clock today.
Okay.
We're going to be helping pump out the water that's in his basement.
Gotcha.
The DR folks literally come from all over the state,
wow.
Sometimes even from the nation. And they'll show up during national disasters to provide food or chainsaws or whatever is needed.
That's very nice.
And so it's a part of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, if you have need, again, CCBA, Christian County Baptist Association, talk with John Franklin and let him know what the needs are, and he can help organize these folks as they roll in to assist.
Gotcha. That's good to have.
Absolutely.
Very good to have.
And today, in Genesis, we were supposed to talk about Noah. We're not.
We're going to skip Noah today.
No, we're going to go into talking about Esther. We're going to talk about Luke. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're not talking about Noah.
Okay.
Not today.
Okay.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This verse emphasizes that giving should stem from a genuine decision within one's heart, not from obligation or pressure. It also highlights the importance of a cheerful giver, suggesting that giving should be done with a positive attitude and a sense of joy. This verse assures that God values and loves those who give generously and willingly. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. You and I have an opportunity starting tomorrow morning at 6 to give to demonstrate our heartfelt, joyful giving because of God's love. Our Thank You Jesus Friend Raiser starts at 6 in the morning. Are you aware it takes over $2,000 a day to operate Missionary Radio? Your gift matters. We're asking you to generously partner with us. Go online now to missionary.radio, click on donate, and make your faith promise there. The world needs King Jesus.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR. Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Monday morning.
Well, good morning. I hope that you are waking up to a dry home. I hope that you are waking up to a warm home. Yes. And I hope that you're waking up in your own home. But if you aren't, I do pray that you're finding the help and relief that the church provides amongst the body of believers. You've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are coming to help. Just a reminder that there is a group coming into town called Disaster Relief. You can find them through the Christian County Baptist Association. It does not cost a dime. They come trained and prepared to do what are called mud outs. When you've been flooded out, they come in to help get the mud out of your home after it all subsides. Now, they are not to, you know, be able to give you the inspection and tell you your home's going to be okay. That's going to be up to city governments and other things like that. But they're here to help, just help you clean up the wreckage of what's occurred. They come from all over Kentucky and the nation. They're just Southern Baptist volunteers that sign up, get trained, and when these things occur, they are in teams, and the teams are then notified and sent on alert, and then they come rolling into town when the time is needed.
And much like Samaritan's Purse, they do it in the name of Jesus.
That's exactly
right.
That's exactly right. So if you see a bunch of yellow hats in and around the area, those are the DR fellas and ladies, and they're here to help.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about something other than Genesis today. We've been doing a study on Genesis, but where we are quite literally in our study is Noah. And I have no desire to do a study on Noah today. So we're going to do a study on anything but Noah, and that is going to be actually out of the book of Esther. Now, I happen to be reading this in my devotions, and one of the things that struck me the other day as I was reading it was a phrase that I found in verse 13. So to set it up, in chapter 1 of Esther, Queen Vashti is a queen of a very, very rich king, and King Xerxes has had a party that has lasted about 180 days, and now he's had another party that's lasted a little over a couple of weeks. And as he's finished up this party, he's good and drunk, and that's a way to really make good choices right there, isn't it? So anyways, and it says he was in high spirits. Yeah, I'm going to say,
I would say so.
The spirits were definitely involved.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says, hey, bring the queen in here and parade her in front of these fellas because she's awful pretty and I want them to know what kind of wife I got. Well, Queen Vashti wasn't having any of it. She got notification from the servant who came and said, hey, the king would like you to come and parade. And she was actually entertaining all the female nobles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't want to lose face in front of them. And so she says, well, tell the king go jump in a lake. That's not exactly. That's a Tucker translation. We're going to go with that.
She's not coming.
She ain't coming. She rolls her eyes. Let's say it that way. Yeah. She rolls her eyes at him. And so anyways, he's now hopping mad, and he wants to know what he should do with his wife. And so in verse 13, Joe, if you would read verses 13 and just the front end of 14.
Okay. Since it was customary, thank you, by the way, since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king.
It
lists their names.
That's why you said thank you. I wasn't going to make you read all those names. Although there are some pretty cool names in there. If anybody's looking for, you know, baby names, you want to be unique, go to Esther chapter 1.
And if you had twins, you can name them Karshina and Marcina.
There you go. Absolutely.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Absolutely.
I'm
telling you, we're going to start a trend. It's Esther names.
Esther names.
So In this passage, the thing that I wanted to take note of is this simple phrase. It's in verse 13, and he says he got a bunch of guys who are experts. And what are they experts? It says they're wise men who understood the times. Now, I like that phrasing. I found it to be very fascinating. But the one thing it doesn't say is that he got guys who are godly. He didn't say he got guys who knew God or had the spirit of wisdom of God or anything about God. What it says is they knew the times. So what do you think that phrase means, guys, when he says, hey, these are smart fellas, they understand the times?
They probably were in high spirits as well as the king.
That's what I'm going to say, yeah.
A party that goes on that long.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And I will admit that they can't be that wise if they're going to get in between a king and a queen.
Yeah, that's
a bad idea. That's a bad place for your head to be.
Yeah.
Because you'll lose it and they'll keep theirs.
Yeah.
But they are, it says, experts in the law, and it says they understand the times. Meaning, in that phrasing, they understand the culture of the day. They understand the political trends. And so if you want to say it in modern technology or terminology, it would be they're the spinmeisters.
Okay.
They run the media room. They know what this is going to do for his polling as a king. They know how he'll be respected or not respected by the decisions that he makes. They understand social media. They get how to work the technology and the imagery. They are a part of the culture, and they're wise in that. I know that in every church and in every school, in every workplace, there are some folks who are just on the in crowd. They seem to know what's going on, and they seem to know what to do and what to wear and all that. I know that because I've never been that. I've been able to observe it, but I've never been able to be that. But there's always a group that understands what's going on around them, and there's also always a group that's completely oblivious. Mm-hmm. And so the question that I have for you guys, these guys are clearly ungodly. They're as pagan as the day is long. They're as ungodly as the day is long. There's nothing about them that we're going to say, yep, that is holy. Nope. They are going to meddle into a marriage, and they are going to set up that marriage by simply saying, listen, you got to get your woman in line.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what they're going to pound home for the king.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, there's actually some really good lessons that can come from this. But right now, just I want you to concentrate on the fact these guys don't know God from a hole in the wall, okay?
Yeah.
And they don't know the scripture or the truth of God from any other writing that they've come across in philosophy or anything else. And so are they going to give good wisdom or are they going to give bad wisdom to the king? What is your gut response? Do you expect that what they're going to say is good or what they're going to say is bad? What do you believe?
Oh, definitely not good.
I would say definitely not good.
Okay. And why is it definitely not good?
Well, they're spotting a trend.
Okay.
That, you know, if Queen Vashti gets away with this,
Wives
all over the kingdom
can't have
tell their husbands,
rolling their eyes at men.
That's right.
They're going to tell their husbands, you go jump in a lake too.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah.
Are they wrong?
Well, moment of silence.
I think they were right in that it could start a trend, but
okay.
I think the king was a jerk to ask his wife.
Totally
to do
agree.
That.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And listen, if anything,
and
I say
husbands should
here,
never ask wives to do that.
That's right. Yeah. And if I upset any of the housewives who are listening, I want you to understand I'm not afraid of emails. Send it to Joe Barner, care of WMKJ Missionary Radio. No, I understand that we disagree with what they're going to tell the king. I totally understand that. But they weren't wrong in the fact that if she does this, she could start a movement. Is that not true? They were right about that. And the scripture says they don't have to be right about the morality of it. Mm-hmm. What the scripture says is they understood the times. They could read the room. Mm-hmm. And they knew, okay, this is going to hurt the king politically. If she begins to start a movement and the women in the area begin to say, well, she's the one we follow, not him, that's going to be bad for him. So from a political side, not a moral side, this is wise counsel because they know the way the world thinks.
Yeah.
And the question we're going to ask when we get back from Pen from the Heart is there value in having that kind of wisdom as a believer? But first, let's hear some encouraging words from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hanson, praying for God's blessings of provision for Missionary Radio. From Clarksville, thank you for continuing the programs you play. I listen as much as I can at home, in the car, and sometimes on my phone. From a Tennessee Ridge listener, I am very thankful for Missionary Radio. God bless. And from Pembroke, keep up the good work, good music, and good message.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
I didn't even catch the name of it there, Joe.
I still need Jesus.
There you go.
That
thing jumps off so quick. I can't remember. Sometimes I'm looking over here and looking over there. I'm like, where's it at? Where'd it go?
But anyway. Well, we should never forget that truth. Jesus.
I still need Jesus every single day.
Well, and as we start this segment, I do want to remind everybody that with the flooding we've had over the weekend, we were talking about it just off air. We were sending a number to somebody so they could call. If you want to call the CCBA, the Christian County Baptist Association, there's a group called Disaster Relief. They are a Southern Baptist ministry that comes out of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so groups from around Kentucky and literally around the nation can come rolling in here, and they're trained in mud out and clean up. Okay. And so we have local churches, obviously, in our association that are going to be involved. I know our church is. We're going to be doing something today at 1:00. But if you have a need and you, let's say you're in a church and you just don't, let's say it's senior adults and they just don't have the capacity, you know, physically to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Disaster Relief comes in to do mud out, and you don't have to be a Baptist. You don't have to pay them. It's, you can ask them to come and they work you in the schedule and they come and they do mud outs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you've had something hit like that, It's a big help to have somebody show up.
Absolutely.
They wear big old bright yellow hats and big smiles.
Get to work.
So Brian, you've got the number there for the CCBA.
Yes, 270-885-8777. Once again, 270-885-8777.
There you go. And so we are talking today. I know we've been doing a study on Genesis, and some folks have kind of been following along each week. We're not in Genesis today because, as I said at the beginning, we would be literally in Noah, and I don't want to do Noah today.
Don't want to do Noah.
So we're doing Esther, and we have started off with marital disputes and how do you keep your woman in line as a king? And Queen Vashti rolls her eyes at the king, and the king has gotten real good and mad at Queen Vashti. And he turns to wise men who were not wise enough to stay out of it, and he says, "What should I be doing?" But the scripture says that these men, and the phrase that's used is, understood the times. Now, they weren't godly men. They weren't necessarily even moral men. But they were men who understood the times. And there is a type of wisdom that says, hey, I know the ways of this world. Mm-hmm. I know how to, well, street smart, you know?
Sure.
I know how to handle the things that are in this world. And there is a place in the Scripture for having that kind of knowledge. A lot of times as believers, we think that we should be, well, so separate from the world, we're ignorant of the world. We're just oblivious to the world. But that's not what actually Jesus called us to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the really interesting thing. To enhance your witness, you need to be able to understand what's happening in the secular so that you can meet it with the sacred. Mm-hmm. So I want to take from Queen Esther there in chapter 1 in verse 13, and I want to jump across to another passage. So, Joe, if you'll go to Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to go over into Matthew chapter 10. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, here's Jesus preparing to send the church out, or the disciples who will become the church. And in chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 16, he says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep among the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who will speak, but the Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you." Now, his statement here is, I'm sending you out into a world that's exceptionally dangerous. And he says, and these are Jesus' words, these are red-letter words, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so, because, therefore, as a result, I want you to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So what do you guys think it means to be wise as a serpent? First, let's just take the term serpent and say, does that sound like something Jesus wants Christians to be?
No.
Serpent-like?
No.
Well, the first time we encounter serpents in the Bible is Satan in the form of a serpent in the mm-hmm. Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Absolutely. And so...
And then there is the curse that the Lord pronounces on serpents, which we believe is probably why they crawl around on their bellies.
That's right.
And why that, you know, the only good snake is a dead snake.
That's correct. That's correct. On my ground, on my little patch of ground, there are the snakes that are dead and the ones I haven't found. That's the only things that exist. There's only two kinds, really, in our little world.
But some of them are wise and they haven't been seen yet
on
your
ground. That is correct.
Well, now I've always heard that the black snake?
They
keep the poisonous snakes away.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel like if there are enough dead snakes around the property, all the snakes will stay away.
They'll stay away? Okay,
so you leave the carcass as a warning.
Okay,
yeah, we toss it up in the woods. It's a warning signal. But the concept of a serpent, though,
snakes are sneaky. They like to come up behind you.
Right.
And get you, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are always in a sidewinding motion. So people assume they're never straight on.
Yeah.
You know, they assume that. It's not true, but it's what they assume. I am anti-reptilian, just so that you guys understand.
I've got you.
I'm not a reptile person.
I'm with you.
And there are some people that love reptiles.
Oh, yeah.
I told the church yesterday that I had a culvert that was clogged, and so I'd raked it out, and I'd cleaned it out the day before, and, of course, the floodwaters, I was watching the culvert clog up. And it literally was going over the top of this land bridge that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my goodness, it's just going to tear everything up. So I went to go clean it out again. And you can't see down in that muddy water, but I couldn't get any leaves to come out with my rake. I couldn't figure out what was clogging it. So I reached down with one hand, and I found what I thought was like a traffic cone. I said, what in the world's a traffic cone been corked in this thing? It wasn't. It was a big old turtle. Once I realized I had my hands around this massive turtle, I removed my hand in a quick fashion. He had plunged into that culvert shell first, like a cork in a bottle. And so he was just pinned in that culvert, and he couldn't go any further. And so when I realized I had my hands on that shell, I spun that shell, and I pulled my hand out because I don't want to get bit. And I guess I spun him enough that he was able to say, "Cowabunga!" And he just went zoom on down through that culvert, and he was gone. But I said, "Holy cow." My heart had to slow down for a little while. I am not a reptile person. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't mind them if they're a good distance away. And I will say turtles have amazing hearing. Yeah. You can be 400 yards away. You step out of the house, and I'll watch a whole bank of turtles just slide into the pond. And I call it the Hard Shell Baptist Church over on that side of the pond.
You know, so, I was thinking about turtles. I'm getting off subject just a tad.
But that's all right.
I watched a video yesterday of an older gentleman that has a snapping turtle as a pet.
Oh, no.
And he said it was about the size of a quarter when he found it. And he said he would lay it up on his chest and pet it. And still to this day, it's like a huge turtle. And he sits it up on his chest and pets this thing. And it don't bite him.
He's going to have no nose one day.
I'm like, okay, you know, so. But anyway.
more power to you, brother.
More power to you.
Yeah. God bless.
Yeah.
But back to serpents and
reptiles.
Innocent as doves.
That's right. And so thank you for coming back to an actual point.
I think what Jesus is saying is that we need to understand, like those guys, understand the times.
That's right. His point is, and his goal is where you're heading is dangerous.
Don't be naive.
That's right. He's also saying, don't buy into it.
Yeah.
But make sure that you are engaged enough that you're aware of what you're walking into. Don't be ignorant of the world. Don't be intentionally separate. There are a lot of folks who just believe, hey, all we need to do is get in our little compound and let the rest of the world kind of go past us. Mm-hmm. That's not what God intended. God intends for his believers to step into the world. So he says, hey, you need to get wise. You need to be smart. You need to know what it is. Don't buy into it. Don't be conformed by it, right, as Romans says. Mm-hmm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you cannot be ignorant of what the world is doing. And yeah. I'm amazed at how many believers I meet in churches who just say, well, I've just chosen not to engage in that kind of knowledge or in that kind of understanding or being aware of the things that are happening around me. Listen, retreat is only a weekend. It is never a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so if your intention is to just withdraw, then you're actually going the opposite direction of where God intended. You need to get smart about where the world is, mm-hmm. not so that you can be of the world, but so that you can walk in the world. Now, we're going to hear a word from a lady who's an amazing speaker, Johnny Erickson Tata, and she's going to tell us some wonderful truths. And when we get back, we're going to actually see how Jesus says everything we do needs to be applied in the world and not out.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. You may know a foreign language, but chances are, I bet it's not Arabic. Well, today, Johnny has a great story about this great language.
Some people just have a gift for learning languages, especially unusual languages like, oh my goodness, Arabic. You see, I'm thinking of Abby Boer. She's a volunteer that I met this past summer at Family Retreat. And during a break in the activities, I asked Abby about her background, and she told me the most remarkable story. You see, Abby was a student at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, where she studied English as a second language. While on campus, she met many Muslim students from Saudi Arabia who had come to Wright State to study. And of course, part of their studies while at Wright State involved learning English. That's how Abby got connected with a whole group of young people from the Middle East who were hungry to learn more about Western culture. And of course, that culture included learning about Christianity, even though the background of these students was Islamic. From the very onset, they struggled trying to grasp the concept of a loving God who would die for sinners. Abby could tell that part of their struggle had to do with their inability to understand the English language. Abby was able to recognize that these, her new friends from Saudi Arabia, they had a genuine spiritual thirst, and she wanted to do all she could to help explain the gospel. So, Abby gave them a challenge. She said to these students, "Friends, if you work harder to learn English, I will meet you halfway, and I will do all I can to learn your language, Arabic." At first, they did not believe her. "You would learn Arabic just to help us?" Abby smiled and assured them, "You bet." And that's exactly what she did. I was so fascinated by the story and so sitting there with her, I decided to test her. I said to Abby, "Well, let's hear some of your Arabic," thinking that she might haltingly share maybe a few words, but oh my goodness, she rattled on and on saying things I certainly could not understand. But yes, it was Arabic. Needless to say, Abby's foreign friends at Wright State became her fast friends. And those Muslim students could see that this young Christian took their friendship seriously. It went a long way in proving to them the depth of Christ's love for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 says, quote, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." I tell you, that verse perfectly describes what happened between Abby and those students from Saudi Arabia. Bless her heart, in her desire to share the love of Christ, Abby not only went the second mile in learning Arabic, she was so creative. Because of her service through which she proved herself as a follower of Jesus, those students gained an up-close and personal experience of how much the God of the Bible cared for them. Abby's example is the Apostle Paul, who says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." And friend, the question is, what lengths are we willing to go to prove the love of Christ to others who are thirsty for the way, the truth, and the life? Well, if you need an example, you can always look to the Apostle Paul, who went the second mile to be used of God to save some. But you can also look to Abby Boer from Wright State University. Let me hear from you today on my Facebook page, or you can always post a comment on my blog at johnnyradio.org.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." This verse emphasizes that giving should stem from a genuine decision within one's heart, not from obligation or pressure. It also highlights the importance of a cheerful giver, suggesting that giving should be done with a positive attitude and a sense of joy. This verse assures that God values and loves those who give generously and willingly. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. You and I have an opportunity starting tomorrow morning at 6 to give to demonstrate our heartfelt, joyful giving because of God's love. Our Thank You Jesus Friend Raiser starts at 6 in the morning. Are you aware it takes over $2,000 a day to operate Missionary Radio? Your gift matters. We're asking you to generously partner with us. Go online now to missionary.radio, click on donate, and make your faith promise there. The world needs King Jesus.
His fault.
Yeah, great. Jordan St. Cyr with Grateful here on Missionary Radio. It's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault. So last segment we were talking about my
turtle
and basic aversion to most reptiles. I'm not a fan. The only good gator is on a belt or boots.
There you go.
That's personally my opinion. But I also have. On our property, we have a armadillo. My neighbor was telling me
about
it. Are
they part reptile as well?
I don't know, but they ain't pretty.
They look like one.
I love seeing the deer come through my property. I am not looking for an armadillo.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not taking pictures of one. I'm not sending that to family saying, "Oh, guess what we have on our property?" But the other thing is a kicker is that my neighbor said, "Oh, yeah, and they carry leprosy." Yeah. And he carries, we'll kill it then. And she said, it's not his fault. he didn't just, so I've got Lester the leper armadillo on my property walking around somewhere. She says, he can't give it to you unless you go and pet on him or if your animals go and tangle with him.
Yeah.
And my dog's on a lead, so he's not going to tangle with him. But still,
yeah.
Lester the leper armadillo, I don't think he's a reptile, but I don't need him.
Don't need him.
I don't need him.
Yeah, I got you.
So anyways, we've been talking about, I'm not even sure at this point, but we started in Esther chapter 1 with guys who were ungodly, but they were understanding of the times that they were in. They were wise in the ways of the world. And we say, that's not what believers should be. And yet, over in Mark chapter 10, what we found is that Jesus told us, I'm sending you out to be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents, or shrewd as serpents, because I want you to engage this world, and I don't want you to be unwise about where it is you're walking into. And so that makes a lot of sense. And you would think, well, that maybe was for the disciples or something along those lines. Actually, it's in the teachings of Christ that he wants us to have this mindset. So I want us to turn to Luke chapter 16. And there, if you would, Joe, for the sake of time, we're going to summarize the parable. I know you know the parable of the shrewd manager. If you want to just summarize it, and then would you engage the main quote of it, and that is verse 8 down through, I'm going to say verse 12.
So this manager was fixing to lose his job.
Yes, sir.
And so in order to keep an income coming, he was making deals with people who owed his boss
That's
money.
Right.
So that when he lost his job, these guys would say, well, we remember.
That's right.
That you kind of wrote off some debt for us, and we're going to take care of you, brother.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So he uses his boss's money to make a feather bed mm-hmm. for himself.
So in verse 8 in this parable, Jesus says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.
So if you're wondering about that and you're scratching your head just a little bit, in verses 10 through 12, he actually double downs on that truth. So Joe, if you would, read those two.
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?
So his point is that if you're going to be going out into the world, you need to be using the currency of the world to be able to communicate the actual power of the gospel. So we have the currency of the world, understanding the times and understanding the world itself, having that kind of wisdom. We're gonna simplify it as street smarts, you know, having the street smarts to be able to communicate well with the world and know what it is you're walking into. But to also use everything that you've got in the world to communicate that which is good and really key to your life. So what the shrewd servant was doing is he was using something that wasn't his, the wealth. It was the master's, right? Mm-hmm. And he says this was dishonest. In a worldly standpoint, from one human to another, this was dishonest. But when you make the master God and the servant us, which is where the parable runs, then suddenly God is the one who gives us all things, including our worldly possessions, our worldly wealth, our worldly goods. And he's saying, how are you using those things? How are you using your worldly influence? How are you using your worldly positions? How are you using your worldly wealth in order to present yourself to the world in a way that you can then communicate the heart of who you are, which is the gospel? And so that's the concept of the shrewd manager. And he pushes it further by stating, listen, if you're not good handling the world's goods, in other words, the worldly stuff, then how can God give you the really great stuff, which is the heavenly wealth?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when he finishes that, in verse 13, he actually pushes it further by saying, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So he says, everything that you've got worldly-wise, you need to use it shrewdly, not dishonestly. That's not the goal of the parable.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to use it shrewdly. To what end? Well, to make sure that you have comfort here. No, you need comfort with where you're going. You're not staying here. The manager wasn't going to be allowed to stay where he was, and he knew that. So he was making preparation for where he was going. Well, for us, we're not going to be allowed to stay where we are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be making preparation for where we're going. And I need to use everything that I've been given by God. It's not mine. House I live in, it's not mine. The car I have, it's not mine. The wealth I have, it's not mine. I just told you about my property, and there's a leprous armadillo that has chosen to take rent-free a place on my property, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's not mine,
yeah.
Okay? There will be others who will come after me,
mm-hmm.
and there were many who came before me.
Yeah.
And so I know all that I have is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
What I need to do is use everything that I have been given and use it to make preparation for where I'm going.
Really, what you're talking about is what Pastor Brandon Boone from Edgewood was talking to us last night about. Stewardship.
Bring it home. That's awesome.
Stewardship. Using the money that God has blessed us with in this life.
That's right.
To get the gospel out,
mm-hmm.
To share the gospel. That's what we'll be talking about during the Friendraiser the next two
Absolutely.
And a half days.
Right. That's exactly right.
We'll be talking about and you know, focusing on this ministry.
Sure.
How God's people can come together, put their resources together, and get something, the gospel going out
mm-hmm.
Through this ministry, through other ministries,
sure.
and around the world.
That's right. And in fact, the whole point of all of this is that this radio station is a shrewd tool in God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that you can do so much with so little, in other words, your investment reaps so many dividends, is because the gift you're giving of God is not simply being multiplied by Christ, it's being used in a worldly, shrewd fashion.
Exactly.
In other words, you're using it for the best technology of the day, and you're making sure that you connect with folks in a way that I can't by myself. So what I give to you multiplies, not simply like loaves and fish in the hands of Jesus, although I'm sure that that is a piece of it. It's also in the fact that, well, you guys are shrewd about what you invest in and where you make sure your stations are and so on and so forth. And so this station has grown. In the time that I've known you, Joe, I've watched this signal grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is shrewd management.
And much of that is a result of being good stewards.
That's right.
I think our partnership with TWR, which 10% of your gifts to Missionary Radio helped
right.
to take that gospel around the world and even into places where this station cannot reach,
mm-hmm.
places where missionaries cannot go.
That's right.
A radio signal telling folks about Jesus, it
Absolutely.
Can get in.
So the thing that we as believers need to do is we need to be shrewd, and we need to know the times in which we live. We don't get corrupted by it. We don't get conformed to it. But we need to know it because God intends us to take the gospel message into it. So
Amen.
Today, be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.